Jesus sent the disciples out on a kind of training mission, preparing them for the future. He wouldn't let them bring anything, not even a wallet, a satchel, or sandals. He sent them out in complete vulnerability, like sheep among wolves, he said. In each town, they would need to find hospitable people to shelter them and feed them, people of peace. Jesus called them people of peace. They would become partners and with their support would proclaim the kingdom of God in word and deed to the neighbors. And if people didn't respond, he told them to move on and not look back. They were looking for places like fields that are ready for harvest, where the time is right and people wanted what they had to offer. They returned from that training mission full of confidence and joy. But as I heard this scripture this morning, all I could think about was, remember going somewhere? Remember going to people's houses? Remember sharing a meal and drinks together? Remember working together on things in person? Remember going to other towns, meeting new people? The words that jumped out to me loudly were, don't go to one another's houses. How do we be disciples if we can't go? What does it mean to follow when we're locked down, staying at home, when mobility is a challenge, or we can't physically go? Everything about discipleship seems to be about going. Our scriptures are full of maps, maps that show the regions, the travels of the people of God, of Jesus and of the disciples, of Paul and the movement of the good news. These journeys mark an uprising of discipleship. They are actions in response to Christ's call, follow me. And Jesus is still asking that simple, all or nothing invitation today, follow me. For the disciples, 3 years into their time with Jesus, it was the one essential thing that he kept asking for, following him. Of course, that's what the word disciple has meant all along, to be a follower, a student, an apprentice, one who learns, imitating the teacher. Those disciples, those fishermen, they got to sit at the feet of the greatest teacher imaginable. And now they're being sent out in turn to teach and train others in this new way of life. This revolutionary plan of discipleship means that we first and foremost must be examples. We must embody the message and the values of the movement. That doesn't mean perfection, but it does mean that we recognize we're all growing and learning with a humbleness and a willingness to get up again after we fall, always moving forward on the road we are walking. As Jesus modeled never-ending learning and growth for us, we will model it for others, who will model it still for others. If each generation of disciples follows this example, learning, acknowledging our mistakes and trying again. In centuries from now, apprentices will still be learning the way of Jesus from mentors, so they become mentors for the next generation. This uprising is calling us to movement. And it didn't just happen when Jesus died. It began in that first invitation to follow him, that first awareness that there could be another way. And he planted in the disciples what they needed when it was time to go. That was essential. This most recent lockdown is hard, particularly if you feel raring to go. But remember, the disciples had 3 years of preparing for the going. Learning, listening, trying, failing, letting go, unpacking the scriptures, having good days and bad days, disappointments and joys, times where they were focused and times when they were distracted. I think Jesus chose fishermen for a good reason. To be part of his uprising, we must be willing to fail a lot and to keep trying. He didn't choose the experts. He chose the honest and the willing. We will face long dark nights as the disciples did when it seems that nothing happens or they're not going anywhere. But they never gave up hope. And Christ was present to all of it, as Christ is present to us. Let's not lose our focus. We will be tempted to turn on each other, comparing, criticizing, competing. But we need to hear Jesus saying, I know your name. Know me. Learn from me. Listen to me. Stop worrying about anyone else. I'm strengthening you. I'm preparing you. I'm calling you. Follow me. We each have our own journey. We're each struggling right now in our own ways, but we have that in common. And we have the experiences of our tradition, of those who have gone before. We have words of faith that have sustained and will continue to sustain through the longest of nights. And we proclaim this hope together as a community, using the words of our United Church Creed. Wherever you are right now, I hope that you'll join with me. These are the words that our confirmands, who were supposed to be confirmed today but are waiting until after lockdown for that experience. These are the words they've been praying and wrestling with about what it means to follow Jesus. These are the words that Michelle's had on her heart in these last weeks of saying goodbye. And so I invite you to say with me, wherever you are, these words of our creed. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. This is essential.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Hi, I'm so excited to be here with all of you today on my last day at Islington United as your Children and Families Ministry Coordinator. And today I will be reflecting on the new creed. And I chose to reflect on the line, to love and serve others. And this is actually the same line that was given to me at my own confirmation, but I promise it's not cheating because it's a very different reflection than it was 10 years ago now. So something I very much enjoy doing right now is researching into different humanitarian organizations. I like learning about what organizations do, what requirements are for volunteering or working in these organizations. And usually there's like a language requirement, so you must be fluent in speaking or writing Arabic, 5 years of experience in project management, working in refugee camps or tented settlements, knowledge of the Middle East is considered an asset, and so on and so on. So when I was asked to read a prayer today that was written on behalf of the Free Burma Rangers in Myanmar, I was eager to learn more about the organization and the work they do. And what caught my attention the most on their website were these three requirements to be a part of their team. And the very first requirement asked for love. Each volunteer should be motivated by love. Now, I know how much I loved working on Lesbos in the refugee camp, and I know that that motivation of love for this work is the reason I'm being called into a new direction as I go to Lebanon. But I was trying to remember how I ended up there in the first place. What made me get on a plane during a pandemic to work in a refugee camp that had literally just burned down days before my departure, not knowing what work was waiting for me? This was something I've never experienced before and completely new to me. But I believe that there are these moments in our lives where God comes so close to us that we just know exactly where we're supposed to be. Even if it doesn't really make sense to other people or maybe even to ourselves. And I think that those moments make room for clarity and direction as we are called to live out Jesus' ministry of compassion and kindness, discovering where our light shines the most. And although I am leaving out of love for a new kind of service, I leave knowing how much love fills up this church. And there is a lot of it here. And I know this because I have received it ever since I was a little girl singing in the junior choir, all the way to now working as your children and families ministry coordinator. I have received this love on our beloved and missed Thursday night program, where I spent so much time with different parts of our community. I love spending time in the kitchen alongside our wonderful hospitality team preparing meals. I love that the youth shelter that I work at is being cared for with baked goods from Irene and others on the hospitality team, and I am comforted knowing that that good work will continue when I'm gone. I will miss our phenomenal, hilarious, and kind-hearted youth who show up for our basketball program. Thank you for your participation and humoring me in doing cookie decorating in the kitchen. You're an incredible group who matter so much to me and our church community. I received this love during godly play on Sunday mornings. I've been in awe of our children's wonderings and questions and have loved watching all of our young children grow up, both in person and now virtually. And I am filled with gratitude to our incredible parents who have been such troopers, especially this past year. And I thank you for the many ways you've shown love for our faith community through your involvement in all of the pageants, godly play, compassion camp, drive-throughs at the church, taking part in the drop-off packaged activities for your kids, and so much more. Our children, youth, and families shine such a bright light on our church and have been the best part of my service to Islington. I received this love from my incredibly talented and hardworking staff team, who have all been my rock as they have cheerleaded me on. There's not a lot of people who can say they love going to their morning staff meetings. And I've been overwhelmed with love from our Islington committees and congregation, who has reached out to me and has shown support in many different ways as I depart. And I, of course, have also received this love from my family. So to my sister, Sarah, who has encouraged me to let me feel excited about this work that she knows I am passionate about in the midst of my own doubt and guilt, thank you. And to my parents, who I know this has been the hardest on. I have experienced their unconditional love like never before as they support me in this decision, knowing how much this work makes me happy. I love you, and I will do my best to visit for Christmas. And to our children and youth that I've had the privilege of working with, lots of things in your life are going to change. You're going to learn so much more about yourself, develop new interests, meet new people, see new places. But I hope that the one thing that will remain constant in everything that you do, and that is that it is done in love. Love for yourself, love for others, and love for the world. Be prayerful when making hard decisions, and listen to where God is calling you to shine your light and serve. And know how much this church loves you and is rooting for you. And wherever life takes me, I will continue to serve with the same love and compassion I have received here, being part of this remarkable faith community that I call home. I am beyond excited and ready for this move to Lebanon to continue my work supporting refugees. But please know, I will miss you and will be keeping you all close in my heart as I leave this place. And to end with some Lebanese Arabic as I work towards fluency one day, and my tutor in Lebanon is going to see this, so it has to be perfect. Becher kun men kel albe. Khale daukun yalma. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, and let your light shine.